produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Good morning, and guess what, my radio listeners? You have just landed in love. Welcome to Love, Light, and Positivity, and I am Imaja Jubilee, and I am delighted to be your host for this show. We would like to remind you that you were made in love, by love, for love, and guess what? You were made to be love as well. And sometimes we have a tendency to forget that we were made to be love. So today I'm just reminding you that you were made in love, by love, for love, to be love. So show love today in whatever way is comfortable for you. A smile, a hello, whatever way. You can't give because of social distancing now. But if you're in the household with someone, you can do that. Now let us pause for a minute and take a deep cleansing breath. Breathing in. 2, 3, 4, and breathing out. 2, 3, 4. Breath. Oh, what a precious gift to be woken by the Spirit, awakened by the Spirit this morning. Breath connects us all. I'm right here in Richmond, Virginia, But wherever you are, all over the globe, my listeners, I am still connected to you because God breathed into all humanity, no matter what race, color, or creed, life. And breath is life. And life is meant to be lived in full expression. Life is meant to be lived in full expression. Now say with me, I now live my life in full expression. I'm sure that you have many gifts and many talents and ways of expression, those beautiful, beautiful gifts that the Creator has bestowed upon you. And one thing about it, I always remind you as listeners to remember to be the light. Be the light and not the lampshade. That's one of my favorite things of saying. And what you share Christ's light, because Christ's light resides in our hearts, in the center of where we are. The light reigns supreme in our souls and in our spirits. Isn't that wonderful to say? The Christ. We are Christed, and therefore we are the light. Let's breathe in. Breathing in. 2, 3, 4, and breathing out. 2, 3, 4. What a precious gift. Before we go any further with our show, we would like to thank Josie's Inspirational Network for this platform and Kayla Paget, who is the CEO of Finding My Way Radio. This has been an awesome, awesome opportunity that I have been blessed to be able to spread light and to be able to spread love. This program has been going on now for over a year, and I am just grateful again that whatever the Creator brings to my mind, I never know sometime until like a week before what I'm to say and how I'm to do it. But I do what I am guided to do by Spirit. I bring it to you from my heart and from my soul, and by the grace of God, God brings me these ideas and I bring them to you. So hopefully, as listeners, you have gained something from what we do. Now, on our last show, we promised you that we would bring back Elsa Oliver, who is a nutrition and wellness person. And we're going to follow through with that this week. As promised, we keep our promises. So, and she will be joining us momentarily. But before we go into that, I want to tell you a story. I love telling stories. Many, many years ago, I conducted workshops and seminars in New York, and they were based on the wellness wheel from the National Wellness Association. And when I started my seminar, there were two questions that I always asked the participant. One, I would ask them where they live. And you know what they said? I live at so-and-so-and-so-and-so address, and which is near so-and-so-and-so-and-so. And I said, okay. I said, the next question that I asked them was, well, how many rooms are in your place where you reside? And they would say, oh, I got 3 bedrooms and 2 baths, or I have 5 bedrooms and 2 baths. Their answers was always the same. There was never a variation. They never got what I was referring to. And I never, ever told them what I was referring to because I felt like people aren't aware of actually where they reside. And it makes the class very, very interesting. So I say to you, where do you live? Do you live in a house on such and such a street? Well, I'm here to tell you, you reside in your body. Your body is where you live. You wake up in your body. And my mother always would say, if you're not in your body, to be absent from the body, you're present with the Lord. But when you wake up every morning, you wake up in your body. And how many rooms do you have in your temple? Because it is your temple. You have a physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and a soul that resides in your body. You have those rooms. That's where you live. So after you get to know and you come to identify your body as the temple, it behooves us to look at it in a different perspective. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. And also at that time, I wrote I write rhymes and I write poetry and I am an author and I am a poet. I wrote this little simple rhyme, which I'm going to read to you now. And it says, it's plain and it's clear and it's simple. My body is sacred and it's my temple. Whether I'm short or fat, tall or thin, the spirit of the divine, of God, lives within. I'm going to read that one more time. Whether I'm short or fat, tall or thin, the spirit of God lives within. I can move my body. I can shape my body. My body is the temple of God. My body is the temple of God. Now run, tell that. When you come to the realization that where you reside is a temple, it changes your whole perspective on how you live your life. Just like you would take care of your house, just like you would take care cleaning your house and everything, you also come to know that there are ways that you can take care of your body through practical health and wellness practices. So today, part two of our show, we're going to focus on that, and we want to welcome back with us Elsa. We promise you she will be here. She is a nutrition and wellness coach, and she does this from a biblical perspective, and that's what we are all about. She has a podcast, and she also is a co-host on At the Table with Miss B, along with Benita Claiborne, Lisa, and myself. We do this every other week, but today she's here with me. She also operates Food, Faith, and You. And we want to welcome you back to our show, Elsa.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to share all about Food, Faith, and You and how our bodies are a temple.
Yeah, we're going to talk about how our bodies are our temples. And so that's why I wanted to read you what my experience has been around that. But Elsa, I'm sure, has much, much more she could say. So going into that, Elsa, what tools do you use to teach people that their bodies are the temples of God?
Well, first, one of the things that I use is the faith concept. I mean, that's what I teach my clients, or even just people in general, that there is a faith concept and there's an acronym. Faith is, the F is focus on your commitment to God and yourself. A is for action. You set small, attainable goals. I is invest in yourself, because a lot of times we just don't do that. We don't invest in ourselves, because ultimately God does want us to be the best person we can be so that we can glorify His name. The other is time. T, time. Take time for yourself. Because again, we get so caught up in being mom, grandma, a provider, whatever it is, that we forget that we need time to meditate on God's word, to pray, to have devotional time, to exercise. The other thing is H, hold yourself accountable, because you need a circle of support. People, if we don't say to you, if I didn't go up to you and say, Imaji, you know what? I'm going to start a new diet, or I'm going to do whatever it is I'm going to do, but I've got no one to hold me accountable. If I'm leaning on myself for that, well, the possibilities of me just going, nobody knows about it. Nobody knows if I'm not doing it, then there's nobody to hold me accountable. So I teach people, those are the tools that I teach people, and it's, the acronym is for faith.
Wonderful. And I agree with her totally, because we all need support. Now, I heard you saying you need support. Do you believe, you know, there are groups out here, like Overeaters Anonymous.
Right.
There's Food Anonymous, and then there's, Food Anonymous, what is FAAA, FAA, and then there's FA. Do you believe that food can be treated as an addiction?
Absolutely. Food is, it is an addiction, because what we do is, food like gives us that, because, you know, like a drug, or we're looking for that high. right?
Yes.
And that's what we're looking for. And when you're eating, it gives you that instant gratification. So what food is doing, it is calming that addiction or that need to hurry up and eat, because it balances the anxiety that we're having, because people don't want to overeat just because, but they're just drowning whatever it is inside of them.
And that's
like pain.
And that's what my next question to you mm-hmm. is, because I come from a family of addicts. There's food, alcohol, women.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, those kind of addictions. So I do believe that food is an addiction.
It is.
And do you recommend people going to those support groups as well as to you?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah, because I come from a family of addicts as well. You know, for me, I didn't think I was addicted to food, but I was, and I'll explain how I was aware. I went to seek a therapist
uh-huh.
because for me, it was, if I was heavy, nobody would see me.
Right.
And the reason I didn't want anybody to see me is because my father was extremely a jealous man. And he would say, oh, I saw that boy looking at you and you like him.
Okay.
And you're this and you're that. And so for me, I was always afraid. I didn't want anybody to look at me because I didn't want him yelling at me and getting in trouble.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense because I was raised by a Baptist minister.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that not to condemn the Baptist faith.
No.
But there were strict guidelines about what I could wear.
Right.
Because I couldn't show my body.
Right.
Okay. And then when time came for the way food was used in my family, it was a way that my mother showed love.
Right.
You know, it showed love, and you were to eat what was given to you, but in the
meat. And clean off your plate.
Yeah.
So it is that way. So I felt like if nobody saw me, I didn't have to hear my father. But so what I did is I would eat a lot of food, so then that way I didn't have to. And even after he died, it was just it was like a thing in my head.
Yeah.
So I was drowning that need. That need for nobody to look at me, because I could hide myself, because who's going to look at a fat girl?
Yeah, right. You hid within your body.
Exactly.
You know, I call it, you hide yourself from yourself.
Exactly.
But you don't hide yourself from yourself. It's
right.
Buried deep within.
Mm-hmm.
So what about now? Because I know that people, you know, they say that alcohol sales are up and the food is flying off. You go to the grocery store, there's nothing on it. People in, they're hoarding besides paper towels and toilet paper. It's food. So what would you say to people now? Because they do need something to help them cope with the anxiousness and the uncertainties that have happened during this pandemic. So what would you say to them? What could they do instead of relying on food or any other substance as part of their wellness to take care of themselves? What would you say to them?
You know, as far as like the alcohol being up, I've been talking to different people about that, and I wrote some stuff down, but I was like trying to find it. But, you know, when we look to alcohol or we look to food, we're again suppressing anxiety. That's what we're doing.
Yes.
And so because there is so much unknown, as to what the future holds, it's easy to go, okay, I want to hoard all this food because I want to make sure that I can eat. And then what happens is we're really not eating because we're hungry. From the people I've spoken to,
yes,
I'm like, so how's eating going? What's happening? They're eating out of boredom. It's really what they're eating from. It's because, you know, you're not used to being home all day, every day anymore. And so, you know, people joke about day drinking. Well, they really are drinking more because it's not out of being an alcoholic. It's out of, right now I would be at work and I'm not at work. I'm hanging out at home with my kids, and instead of being more productive, they're drinking or they're playing games that include drinking with their neighbors and social distancing. But I have found that that's what people I speak to art, because when you asked me that question, when we were talking about it, I called different people and I'm like, you know, what are you doing? Are you overeating? Are you drinking more? And why are you doing those things? And each one said, I'm really just bored.
You're really just bored. So what would you tell their bored? What do you tell them, something practical that they can do to relieve the boredom, which mm-hmm. would not lead to the alcohol or any other substance? Mm-hmm. What do you tell them?
Well, you know, because right now it's beautiful outside. Yes. And so even if it's, I'm a planner. So even my granddaughter, when she's at my house right now, you know, she's like, Amma, we have to make an itinerary of, you know, my family always jokes around with me. But, you know, at work, you're on a schedule, right?
Uh-huh.
And so I would tell people that they need to schedule themselves instead of just being blatant, like just kind of doing whatever at any time. It's uh-huh. kind of more schedule yourself. Say, you know what, I'm going to wake up at 9 and I'm going to get up and get dressed and I'm not going to be in my pajamas all day long, which there's nothing wrong. Like uh-huh. yesterday uh-huh. I wasn't feeling well and I wasn't feeling well the day before. And I was in my pajamas all day long and sleeping all day because I wasn't feeling well. But when I get up in the morning, the need to sit and do nothing is gone because I can go for a walk. And that gets old. You know, people say, well, I can only go for so many walks in one day.
Uh-huh.
But there really is that time that you have time with your family now that you didn't have before. You didn't, because at the time that you're there, you're home right now with your kids.
Right.
There's so many things. Your kids, I'm sure, are loving the fact that you're home with them.
So what I hear you saying is that more family time.
Do family time.
Connecting with the family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like they could go out and buy Uno cards. They could have Uno cards. They could play checkers. Jenga. All kinds of board
There's
games.
Stuff you can do.
Yeah.
And schedule that time out. So you know what? All right, we're going to play this game at this time. We're going to watch a movie at this time. And granted, every day's different. But, you know, there's always, you know, for me, I always tell my kids, we're going to be on, there's an adventure today.
Oh, an adventure. I like that.
I always call I have a thing on my Facebook page. It's Ava and Maya's Great Adventures. And it's because those are my granddaughters. And that's what we do. We always say, you know, what kind of adventure are we going to do today? And even though you have teenagers, like my kids are grown up. I mean, I have a 27-year-old and a 25-year-old.
Wow.
But they still love when I say, hey, these are the things that we're going to do. I mean, they don't live at home anymore. They're both gone. But they still are like, hey, Mom, what are you going to do today? And I give them just a bunch of stuff that I'm going to do. Well, at this time, I'm going to do this because otherwise I would be home gorging. I would be eating. I would lay out a bunch of food and say, all right, I'm going to, you know, I've got a big, huge bag of trail mix and I'm going to eat all of it.
Yes.
Why? Why would I do that? Because I'm bored out of my brain. You know
what
I mean?
Well, one of the things that I would like for my listeners to remember is this. A lot of times what I do is when I get the urge to do something, I do a lot of walking.
Right.
I do a lot of, as you can see, I do yoga and mm-hmm. stretching out. And right. I have my weights. I have my weights that I use as well mm-hmm. to keep myself in good physical conditioning.
Exactly.
And mm-hmm. I don't bring things into my house that I know that I can only eat. If I take one taste of it, it's all gone. You know right. what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So there are lots of things that we can do, but also, too, I think prayer and meditation plays a great part because I have to ask God every day to help me to be the best individual that I can be.
Absolutely.
And that's from a holistic perception. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the tips that you could give people that they could live a more holistic and well life? But
Three tips. Okay. I would say if you're feeling stressed out or anxiety or you're anxious.
Uh-huh.
I would say write it down.
Oh, so journaling. Yes.
Because I spoke to someone yesterday. And she was very anxious, very stressed out about just being in this pandemic. And I said, write down what you're feeling. I said, and then you tell me, I'm the person that you're stressed out about. Let's say I came to you and I said, Amaji, I'm stressed out about Dwayne.
Right.
And so then I'm like, all right, Imashi, you're Dwayne for a moment, and I'm going to tell you what I'm stressed out about. So it's really writing down and being able to vocalize what it is that you're
So you get it out of your head.
Get it out of your head. So
what's number two?
Number two is that I would say that remember that Jesus calls us to be great people. He wants us to live wonderful lives, right? So I would say then you need to pray.
You need to pray.
You've got to pray, and then you need to have set time, because you're not working right now, so you've got more time to devote to the Word of God. So you can even carve out 30 minutes and pray.
Yes.
Because I think that's extremely important to be able to quell that fear or anxiety, because you're able to pray about it.
And that's sacred. That's very special and spiritual to be able to do it. So what's the third thing?
That should have been number one. Sorry. And number three, I would say that we need to be really appreciative of the time that we have right now.
Gratitude.
Have lots of gratitude. Because you don't have, like, you know, Food, Faith, and You, we're more cooking and showing you different things to cook. So right now we have Ava and Emma in the kitchen. And the reason I do that is because my granddaughter loves cooking with me.
Uh-huh.
And so what we do is we end up cooking a lot together. So make time to start cooking together and make time to do things that you normally wouldn't be able to do.
Wonderful. So tell people how they can get in contact with you, Elsa.
They can find me on Facebook at Elsa Caballero Oliver. That's my main Facebook page. But my Food, Faith, and You is my Facebook page. And then on Instagram, I'm also on Food, Faith, and You.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Yes.
So we're going to have to wrap up here now. But I want to thank you for coming back and doing part two with me.
I'm thrilled. I am so excited. Yeah. Thank you for having me back.
Well, I feel like this was a discussion that we needed to continue.
Yeah.
And we got some good information for our listeners. So one of the things that I want to remind you, listeners, you've heard all the wonderful information that Elsa has said, but what I want to remind you is that your body is created in love, by love, for love, and it is a gift from God. Your body is sacred. Your body is the temple. It's the place where your soul and your spirit reside. So honor your body, love your body, and treat your body with respect.
Right.
And you do that by putting the things in, and you don't have to be perfect with it, and get yourself a support system. So we're glad to have brought you what we brought you today, and we would like for you to remember, it's plain and it's clear and it's simple. My body is sacred and it's a temple. I said it's plain and it's clear and it's simple. Whether I'm short or fat, tall or thin, the Spirit of God resides within. I said it's plain and it's clear and it's simple. Remember that. Now run, tell that. And we'll see you next time on Love, Light, and Positivity. Make it a wonderful day. And follow some of the things that we've given you today. Thank you.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Hello, listeners all over the world. My name is Reverend Anthony Hunter Sunguti from Kenya, co-founder of Revelation of Healing and Repentance Ministry. I welcome all my listeners around the world and all those who are listening to Finding My Way radio program, US / World, to this wonderful message. My theme of today's message is that you will rise up again. you are going to raise up again, no matter what you are going through. So I want to take you through some Bible verses where you're going to realize how God is so faithful unto us, and you will realize that whatever you are going through, God is also with you. I want to read from the Bible, the book of Job 14, verse 7 to 9. And the Bible says, at least there is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, it will sprout up again, and its new shoots will not fail. Verse 8 says, its roots may grow old in the ground and stump tight in the soil. Number 9 says, yet at the scent of water, it will part and put forth shoots like a plant. My dear brethren, those listening around the world, I want to tell you, we serve a mighty God. And he says that there is hope. I'm talking about one character by the name of Job. Job had all that every man would desire to have. He had the best family. He had so many herds of cattle. He had a lot of money, he had a lot of camel, he had a lot of every animal that any other person would desire to. Job had one of the best families in the world. But there came a time when the devil seek permission from God. If you read from Job verse 1, chapter 1, verse 6, verse 7, the Bible says the devil seek permission to pursue Job and destroy whatever he had. And at a point, God tells him, can you go and destroy everything, but please spare his heart or life? And the devil says, if you had not blessed him and you have put a hedge on his belongings. So even the devil knows that it's only God who can bless you. And the devil also understand that it's God who can bless you. So he tells God, if you are giving me permission, Job is only praising you. Job is only worshiping you because you have blessed him, because you have put protection on his belongings. You have put protection on his riches. But God gives him a permission and say, go and do whatever you want, but please don't touch his heart. I want to speak to somebody at one point. You might be suffering under some strange disease. You might be undergoing some strange situations where you feel you are the only one having that problem. I want to encourage you, the devil will seek permission from Almighty God just to torment, just to destroy whatever you have built. But one thing I want you to be sure, that when God gives a permission to the devil, you will not be destroyed. You will not be completely destroyed. God will reserve your life. God will reserve all your mind. And he's going to give you rest. We see at one point, Job lost everything. And it became in us a shock. Because as the Bible says, the things that Job was owing, they all were destroyed by the devil in a sequence. And when you read the Bible carefully, when he was being reported about one disaster, when the servant is yet to live, another servant will come in and tell him, you have lost this and that. But one thing I want to speak about Job, Job fell down and said, this is not strange. I rejoice, and he said, I rejoice in the Lord. Naked I came, naked will I go. Glory be his name. So we see a man who trusted God, even in his time of calamity, even in hard times, he was still praising his God. I don't know why you keep up so fast. I don't know why you lament so fast. I don't understand why you are complaining so fast. I want you to be like Job. Whether you are destroyed, whether everything that you own will be destroyed by the devil, our Almighty God will restore you. Job had so much peace at his mind, had so much peace at heart, because he trusted his God and he knew the God he was serving. That's why the Bible says, at that time he fell down and said, naked I came, naked will I come. And along the line, we see Job losing even his wife. He lost even the best friends he had. Even the families rejected him. Oh, I want to tell you, my dear brother, my dear sister, whoever you are listening unto this message, I want to tell you, my theme is you will raise up again. Job never gave up. Job never gave in to their pressure to submit unto their God. He remained steadfast. He remained faithful to his God. For he knew at one time, one point, he's going to raise up again. Job had trust in God. Job believed in God. He said, whatever happens, as the Bible says in Romans, that what will separate me from the love of my God. I want to tell you, whatever you are going through, don't give up. Just praise God. No matter the situation you are facing, no matter the situation that you are undergoing, I want to tell you, whatever you're suffering from is not new. It has happened to somebody else. For the Bible says God will not tempt us to the point that we cannot manage. He will always make a door for us. And Job had trusted in these verses. And he was sure that God is going to make a way where there is no way. That's why he says there is hope for a tree. If it is cut, it will sprout out again. He knew his life will come back again. He knew his family will come back again. He knew all his belongings will come back again. No matter what people told him, he remained steadfast. I want to tell you, if there is somebody who really suffered even strange disease, it was Job. But because of his trust in God, the Bible says we might have looked at Job from the physical point of view and we would have condemned him. We would have told him to curse his God. All the same, we would have told him it's better to die. But I want to tell you, from deep inside Job's heart, Job had a lot of joy despite the boils which were on physical body, despite the pain that people would see with the physical eye. I want to say Job was at peace with himself. He was at peace with his God, for he knew he was serving a mighty God. He knew he was serving a healer. He knew he was serving a God of prosperity. He was serving a God who was faithful. And that's why he was telling his friends, even if you desert me, I want to tell you today that there is hope. Even if a tree is God, it will sprout up again. You wanna sprout up again. I don't know what you're suffering from. Maybe your marriage is at ring of breaking out. Maybe your children are out of school because of school fees. Maybe you are out of job. Maybe you are out of sickness. It might be different kinds of sickness. When you healed, another sickness comes up. Maybe it's jobless or it's really part of life. Maybe it's barrenness of your womb, that things are not working to your way. Maybe your business is about to collapse. I have good news to you, that there is hope. Even if a tree is cut, it will sprout up again. I want to speak to that business. I'm speaking to your business. I want to tell your business will sprout up again. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep holding unto Almighty God. He is a faithful God. He knows you well. Just stop complaining, but give praise unto his name. That marriage will never break. I want to tell you, a marriage will still survive because God is faithful. God is going to turn around your marriage. God is going to turn around your life from jobless to a big job. He's going to turn around your business. He want to turn around your sickness into healing, and you're going to sing songs of joy. Just like Job, he says in Job 42,
But I know you can do all things and your plans cannot be thwarted. You know, Job trusted God 100%. He never had doubt that I'm going to stand up again. I don't know why or what is still pulling you down. I want to tell you, raise up again. Raise up from that poverty. Raise up from that sickness. Raise up from that barrenness. Raise up from that spiritual stagnation. Raise up from that relationship. For you suffer, mighty God. I want to speak a word of deliverance. I want to speak a word of prosperity. No matter what you are going through, may it be generation curses. Our God is faithful to break every curse. May it be marine spirits that are attacking your life. I want to tell you, we serve a mighty God, like Job said. Oh, there is hope, there is hope, there is hope. Don't give up, don't give up. Hey, just like Job said, that I want to know, my God, my deliverer liveth. So your God lives, and he's living to make sure that you are going to be delivered. He's living to make sure that your kids will go back to school. He's living to make sure that you will prosper. When people are failing, your life will not fail. When people are crying, you wanna love. I wanna tell you this, no matter what you are going through, just remain steadfast with God. Just remain faithful unto him. And Job says, there is hope. Don't listen to your friends. They might have cut you off. They might have told you you'll never make it. When a tree is cut off, oh, we think it's over. But by the smell of water, Job says, yet by the scent of water, it will part and put forth shoots like a plant. I want to tell you, by the scent of prayer, by the scent of prayer, your marriage is waking up. By the scent of prayer, your life is coming back. By scent of prayer, whatever they thought is dead, I am speaking unto it. It is not dead, but it's going to sprout up again. You will rise up again. I am saying you rise up again. By the scent of a prayer, by scent of prayer, you are going to be back to your life. Your business will bloom again. Your kids will do good in school. They say our kids are heads or tails. I speak anointing unto them. I speak anointing unto your marriage. By the word of God, your life is going to turn around. Don't give up. Don't give up. For Job says, I know you can do all things. Hallelujah. I know people might have despised you. People might have even ran away from you because you lost your job. They might have just called you names because you are a baker. Because of your poor, they call you names because of your poverty. Because of the situation you are facing, they might have gone new ways. Some of them are not even picking your calls just because they think you are going to pay. I'm speaking to you this afternoon that we serve a mighty God. Remain steadfast unto God. For Job knew one thing. For the Bible says in the book of Jeremiah 6, be it says like clay in the potter's hands, so you are in my hands. Job knew he was in God's hands, and God is creator of everything. So he knew whatever is lost, it will be restored in the mighty name of Jesus. I am speaking to somebody who is giving up. I'm speaking to a business which is almost closing up. I'm speaking to that disease which is putting you down. I'm talking to those people. May it be witchcraft, may it be sorcery that is pulling you down. May it be even curses that are booting you down. It might be spiritual damages that have done into your life. Now you are on the verge of giving in. I want to say, don't give up. Like clay in potter's hands, so you are in God's hands. God can mold you back to something. God can mold you back to something. Oh, I say, God can mold you back to something. Stop listening to the voices of people who are discouraging you. Stop listening to them. Those who are telling you are not make it. In the mighty name of Jesus, God can mold you into that thing that you desire to be. God can mold you into that dream you have always desired. God can mold you into that person that even those distracting your marriage, those distracting your mind, those distracting your business, oh, wouldn't understand, because God is almighty. He's working on your marriage. He's working on your business. He's working on your finance. He's working on your spiritual life. Stop complaining. That marriage, that relationship, God is working on your family. No matter what you are going through, I want to speak a word of prosperity. That ministry will not fail. God is working on it. It will raise up again. It will raise up again. I repeat, it will raise up again. Because like clay in potter's hand, so you are to God. And God is not a man or son of man to lie. He is a faithful God. He raised Job from dust. He raised Job from nothing to something. He restored Job's joy. He restored Job's happiness. He restored Job's horibabasa. It doesn't matter. What people have given unto you, what people have spoken against your life, what people have spoken against your ministry, what people have spoken against your business. What I know, we have a God in heaven, and there is hope that for a tree, if it is cut, it will sprout up again. You are everything that was cut off. It will sprout. This is a day of restoration. This is a message of restoration. No matter what you are going through, just hold on to God. Just trust God. Like Job did, he trusted God with all his heart, with all his mind. No matter his body was itching, no matter his soul was at pain, but he never left his side. He never left his watch on God. And the Bible says, another reference in Micah 7:8, the Bible says, "Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light." Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to God. I know people have been talking ill about you. I know they have despised you. I know your enemies are celebrating for what you are going through. But I want to tell you, Micah tells us, don't gloat over me, my enemy. I might have been fallen. I might have fallen. My business might be at the verge of falling. My marriage might be at the point of breaking up. My finances, my spiritual life. I might be going through under hard times, but don't gloat over me. For though I have fallen, I will rise. Micah says, I will rise. It doesn't matter where you have fallen. It doesn't matter how many times you have fallen. I want to tell you, the Bible says in Psalms, righteous might fall 7 times, but God will raise him up all the 7 times. So it doesn't matter what you are going through. What I know is that you will rise up again. You will rise up again. That marriage will rise up again. Your business will rise up again. Your spiritual life will not time. It is going to raise up again. It might have just fallen, but it's going to raise up again. Though I sit in darkness, God will be my light. God is your light. Whatever you are undergoing, that sickness, it is like darkness, but I'm speaking healing because God is your light. Don't give up. It doesn't matter. May it be diabetes, AIDS, or whatever. It's just a name. The Bible says these sicknesses are just names, but when God intervenes, when God is your light, when God is your healer, when God is in charge, nothing is impossible. And the Bible says the latter days of Job were more joyous, more happy than the first days. He was given 100-fold of what he had lost, and Job raised up again. I am telling you, if you read Job 42 from verse 2, he says, "I know you can do all things, and no plan of yours can be thwarted." Let me prove to you that Job also raised up again after losing everything. The Bible says God raised Job again. Your life will raise up again. Your life will rise up again. Don't give up. Don't listen to those voices of destruction. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. When they tell you wouldn't make it, tell them, I have a court in heaven. Oh, hallelujah. If you read Job chapter 42, verse 10, the Bible says, after Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord made him prosperous again. I want you to underline the word again. It means he was prosperous and he had fallen, but God made him prosperous again and he gave him twice as much as he had before. Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to God. I'm speaking to somebody whose life has been shambles, whose life has been cry, his life has been sorry, his life has been tears. I want to tell you, whatever you lost, God is going to raise you again. God is going to make you prosperous again. He's going to give you twice of what you lost. I don't care what you've lost. It might be your spiritual life. It might be your property. It might be your finance. It might be your business. It might be your relationship. Oh, I'm talking about a loss. You lost something tangible. The way Job lost, but Job had hope in God. And he said, there is hope for a tree if it's cut. He'll resprout him again. And in Job 42, verse 10, we see Job raising him again. Oh, I'm speaking to your life. May you raise up again. May your business rise up again. May your ministry rise up again. May your family rise up again. May your business, may all your life, may all your doings, everything that was lost, everything that had fallen, I'm speaking new life unto it. In Jesus' mighty name, I want to pray with somebody who has really given up. I want to say we have a God who is faithful. Just believe wherever you are, all my listeners. You might be having some difficult times. You might be going through some hard times. Maybe you have lost everything you had. You have lost even hope. You have lost faith. You have lost friends. You have lost business. You've lost everything. I want to tell you, God will make you prosper as I can. Let's pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I want to say thank you for my listeners. You are God Almighty. I want to bless each and everyone. Father, I want to speak a new life unto their living, and I want to speak that they are going to prosper again. As you prospered Job, Father, you are going to change their life. You are going to prosper them in the mighty name of Jesus. You are going to keep them top of ocean of what they had lost. Father, I speak restoration of that job. I speak restoration of that family. I speak restoration of that health. I speak restoration of that marriage. I speak restoration of that business. In the mighty name of Jesus, to every listener, Father, let them receive double portion of what they had lost. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray and believe. Amen. God bless you. Meet you next time. Don't give up. You will raise up again. God bless you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Is another moment again. I welcome you to our Divine Connection program on Finding My Way Radio. Wherever you are tuned in, this is Pastor Henry from Kenya. It is a great honor and privilege to share the Word of God on this blessed channel. To every listener, it is a great opportunity to have you on board as we go through today's message. I believe your life will never remain the same as you allow God to speak to you through this message. Today, we are sharing on a topic chosen by God. In the analogy of marriage and relationship, a man chooses a woman among billions to spend the rest of his life with. In the book of John, chapter 15 and verse 16, John chapter 15 and verse 16. From the King James Version, the Bible says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you to go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." John clearly states that we did not choose God, but he is the one who chose us so that we can bear fruit or bring forth fruit, and the fruit that will remain. We will deal with the first part of the message, chosen, and later on we will survey the subject, ordained. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, I want to paraphrase, the Bible says, "But you are a chosen generation." That means that God himself has picked you for his purpose. The Bible says elsewhere, "While we were yet still sinners, Jesus Christ died for our sins." Brethren, it is God who came looking for us, that when we were sinning or when we were still sinners, God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and died on the cross for our sins. There are numerous examples of men and women that God chose and they accepted to become God's vessels. Mary is a very good example of a woman chosen by God to bring forth or to give birth to the Messiah. When the angel of the Lord appeared unto Mary in the book of Luke chapter 1 verses 28, Luke chapter 1 verses 28, he told her, "You are highly favored among women." Mary is not the one who chose to bring forth our Savior, but God chose her as a vessel that can be used to bring forth our Lord Jesus Christ. God always does all he does with a reason and a purpose. When God chose Mary, he wanted her to be the vessel to bring the Messiah to the world, so that through him, the world may be saved. Mary's response was swift and positive, and she said, "May it be unto me according to your word. May it be unto me according to your word." What has God chosen you to do for him? Are you willing and doing it diligently? The second example is David. Here we find Saul as the first king of Israel. And when he sinned against God, the Bible says, and God rejected Saul as the king. Then God sent his prophet Samuel to David, to Jesse's house. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16, God said, "I have found a man after my own heart. Go and anoint him as the next king." And the prophet Samuel heeded and went down to Jesse's house or family, and there David was made the king of Israel. Of course, we all remember the story. In fact, David was not at home. David was taking care of the sheep. And the Bible says that the other brothers were brought. But when Samuel looked unto them, he thought one of them would be the king. But when he had looked at the seven, the Bible says, and he found none. And he asked, "Is there anyone that is remaining?" And they said, "There is one who is young and is still taking care of the sheep." And he said, "Go and bring him. We'll wait for him." And indeed, when David came, he was anointed as the next king of Israel. David, in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 32, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 32, he said, "Let no man's heart fail because of him," that is Goliath. "Your servant will go and fight with the Philistine." It is always good to accept the challenge of being chosen by God to lead and deliver many. Gideon, while threshing, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in the book of Judges, chapter 6, verses 12 to 14, and said unto him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Go in this your might, and you will save the Israelites from the hand of the Midianites. God himself chose Gideon to deliver the Israelites from the oppression of the Midianites. Many people are under different oppressions worldwide. Could you be the one God has chosen to deliver them? Will you accept the challenge of being chosen? Brethren, God is looking for men he can be able to use as vessels in our days and in our times. And I pray that you'll be able to take up the challenge. And as you take up the challenge, you will be able, as the Bible says, God, when he chooses you with a reason. Another example is Jeremiah. Jeremiah is a prophet chosen by God. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verses 5 and verse 10, God tells him, "Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the belly, I sanctified you and ordained you as a prophet unto the nations." Verse 10, he says, "See, I have this day set you over the nations, over the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to overthrow, to build and to plant." Do you ever look at yourself and imagine, what am I to be chosen by God anyway? Jeremiah said, "I am only but a child." Moses said, "I am a stammerer." Gideon said, "I come from the least clan." However, God still chose them for the work of the kingdom. Another good example again in the New Testament of being chosen by God despite his aura, his background, is Paul. He is introduced to us as Saul of Tarsus, persecuting the church and Christians. One day on his normal duties, the Bible says he encountered the Lord himself. In the book of Acts, chapter 9 and verses 15, chapter 9 of the book of Acts, chapter verses 15, the Bible says, "And the Lord God said unto him," that is Ananias, "Go your way, for he," Paul, "is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name among the Gentiles, the kings, and the children of Israel." We all have a special place in the kingdom. When we yield and surrender ourselves unto him, he, God himself, transforms us into vessels for the glory of his name. Brethren, Paul, nobody could have thought that he could be chosen to be a vessel that will reach the Gentiles, reach the kings, and even reach Israel as a vessel of God. Many times we look at ourselves and we think we have sinned and we have fallen far away from God. But when we turn around like the prodigal son and come back to the Father, God had already chosen you and he just wants you to come back to him so that he can be able to realize the purpose and why he is calling and choosing you, so that he can use you as a vessel to deliver his message to the world. Last but not least, in the book of John, chapter 5, this is a very fascinating story that I really love reading. The Bible says Jesus goes to the pool at Bethesda, and he found many invalids lying there. Among them was a man who had been there for 38 years. When Jesus saw him, he said, "Pick up your mat and go." Jesus, when he saw him, he said, "Pick up your mat and go." Out of all the invalids, Jesus only chose one man out of the many who were lying there, and the Bible says he healed him. In fact, the Bible says that the angel of the Lord would stir up the water once in a year, and whoever would get into the water first would be healed. The Bible says, but Jesus, knowing that he had been there in that condition for over 38 years, he spoke to him and offered him a lasting solution. Brethren, when we read the Bible, we realize that God has chosen us for a specific purpose. Somebody once said, every vehicle comes with a manual. It is only the manufacturer who knows how he made the vehicle. We are made in the likeness and after God's own image. God knows what you are good in or what you are good at in the kingdom. He knows what I am good at or in the kingdom. That is why he has chosen us. Some of us are chosen to be intercessors who are to stand in the gap on behalf of others and pray. The world is hurting and it is looking for men and women who can stand in the gap and pray. Governments and nations are going through tough moments and times. They are waiting for somebody to stand in the gap and pray. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22, verse 30, Ezekiel, chapter 22, verse 30, the Bible says, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. This is one of the saddest stories that I read in the Bible, that God sought or looked for a man who could stand up and make the hedge, intercede for the city so that God could not destroy it. But the Bible says, but I found none. Some of us, we have chosen to be witnesses, to reach out to the hurting world with the good news. It is our duty to do what God has chosen us to do. Some of us, God has called us to do great and perform miracles. But because we have not heeded the call of God, we do not even understand that God has chosen us for a particular purpose. You could be there saying, but I am not chosen. In the next lesson, we will share on why does God choose and ordain us. Chosen means to pick among or to select from for a specific purpose. Why are you alive or breathing today? Why are you working? Why are you doing business or the business that you are doing today? Why has God given you a family, a wife, and even children? Why has God given you parents? And some of us, our parents are still alive. Is there a duty that God has called you to do to these people that I've just mentioned up there? Brethren, there is always something God wants us to accomplish and fulfill for him in the kingdom. You could be listening to me this hour, and probably you are not saved. Why are you tuned in at this hour on this station? God knows why you are on the radio now listening to this message. I can tell you, God chose you today to hear this message so that when you get saved, he can use you to fulfill his purpose. This is the reason why God chooses us. Some of us, God has sent us back to our family members. Your brother could be languishing in sin. Your sister could be languishing in poverty. Your neighborhood needs you to stand up and pray and intercede for it. Your city is waiting for your prayers. There are many millions of people who are waiting for you. And when God made you just like he made Jeremiah, he said, I knew you even before you were formed in your mother's belly. And I chose you and I ordained you so that I could send you to nations. And brethren, God has sent us to different nations. My nation can be my village. My nation can be my family. My nation can be my neighborhood. My nation can be my city. My nation can be my country. My nation can be the whole world. Not necessary to reach it and go to every city, but just to pray and intercede for it. You look at the world economically, Things are not working. You look at the world right now, every person is complaining about the global warming. And brethren, when we bring people back to God, and people began to worship God, and people begin to live for God, the Bible says, God said, I have seen the suffering of my children, and I have heard the cry of the children of Israel. And now I have come down so that I may be able to deliver them. God is waiting for a man so that he can be able to deliver him. I love the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 8 and verses 32. The Bible says, and the sons of Issachar were men of understanding, who understood what Israel ought to do. You can never be able to understand the times, the seasons that we are living in, until you know the one who holds the seasons and controls the seasons. And that is why I'm saying that when you heed the voice of God tonight and give your life to Jesus Christ or get saved, God will use you as a vessel, so that when you have been chosen and you go out and you do what God wants you to do, many people will be turned from darkness into light. Many will be turned from their waywardness and come back to the path of righteousness. And as they live for God, the Bible says, when they stand before God, they'll be able to rejoice, because somebody who had been chosen by God heeded the voice of God and went to them and did what exactly God called him to do or her to do. And when he did it, God used him to save and bring many into the kingdom of God. We have looked at various examples in the Bible of men and women who are chosen. And just the way I said again earlier, that each one of them, or a good number of them, had reasons why they could not be used. And indeed, even in our times, some of us, we want to look at our levels of education. Either probably God has helped us to pursue education to higher levels, and we think God cannot use us. Even at that level that you have reached in your education, God still wants to use you. Some of us, probably we may not have achieved much academically, but I can assure you, still again, God does not necessarily look at that. When we yield and willing to surrender to God, God is ready and willing to use us. Some of us, God has endowed us with riches. Some of us, God has endowed us with skills, that when we yield to him and give ourselves to him, he will use us in his kingdom. I mentioned earlier, and I said that when a person or any person makes a vehicle, he is the one who understands what he made that vehicle for. And God knows why he made you. He is your creator. And that's why the Bible says that he desires that all men may come to the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder in the book of Romans, the Bible says, how will they hear the word unless somebody is sent? And how can you be sent unless you're willing and ready that you allow God to choose you, and then he can send you, and then when he sends you, you can be able to deliver the word of God. I pray today that you'll be able to yield and surrender yourself to God, knowing that God has chosen you for his purpose, for his reason. And he wants to use you in a great way. The great way may not be necessarily the way we look at other people. God knows how he can use you. And whichever way that he's going to use you, to him, he will have used you in a great way. And that's why I said, some of us, God will just call us to kneel down and pray. When you read the book of Luke chapter 2, from verses around 52 there, the Bible says, and there was a widow, her name is Anna. And the Bible says, she lost her husband when she was still very young. And the Bible says she dedicated her life to serving in the temple. Why did Anna dedicate her life to serving in the temple? She could have remarried because it was only 7 years after her marriage. I can assure you, there is a reason why you are on the face of the earth. There is a reason why you are listening to this message at this hour on this station. And I pray that you are going to yield and surrender. And as you do that, God will begin to transform you. God will begin to use you. And as God begins to use you, you will indeed be able to look back and say, indeed, this is the reason why I was created. I want to pray with any listener who is there and probably you are wondering, am I really chosen? You are chosen. And that's why you are alive and listening to this message. I want to pray with any listener who could be there. Yes, probably you know the Lord, but you are saying, well, I've never been chosen. There's nothing that I'm doing. The Bible says, the harvest is ripe, but the harvesters are few. And the Bible says, pray to the Father, and he shall be able to send the harvesters. You are part of the harvesters that God wants to harvest in his kingdom, so that he can use you even to harvest more and bring them into the kingdom. The Bible says Jesus Christ met Peter and his brothers. They were fishing, and the whole night they toiled. But Jesus told him, now I want to make you to be fishers of men. Your area could just be prayer. Your area could just be playing instruments in the church. Your area could just be teaching Sunday school. Your area could be a mentor or becoming a mentor to the young ones. Your area could be helping marriages to stand and live for God. Your area could be supporting the work of God, even through the finances that God has given unto you. Your area could be servitude in the kingdom and in the house of God. Are you there? I want to pray together with you. Father, in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray for my listeners today that God, you will cause a divine connection in whatever circumstance and condition they are in right now. I pray that God, you will choose somebody today that he may be the man or the woman you are going to use in this generation. May God choose you for a divine encounter with him. May you receive your healing. And as you receive your healing that God has chosen to heal you, may you go out there with a testimony that indeed Jesus Christ is a healer. I pray that you may receive an appointment. And as you receive that appointment today, may you go out there and testify that indeed I have received my appointment, either for my business or for employment. I pray that you may receive a breakthrough in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. May the Almighty God bless Finding My Way Radio and all the staff for the good work you have been chosen to do for him in his kingdom. I pray for the CEO of Finding My Way Radio, that the Lord God will endow you and give you more wisdom and knowledge, that even through this radio, many lives will be transformed and many lives will be changed. I pray for the world that they may know him and live for him. God bless you. God keep you. May you indeed have a divine encounter as you come to realization that God has chosen you for his glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.